Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome back, everybody. Andrew Brace is here again. He's going to be talking to us today about his work writing in the dog sport, his work with the legendary Ann Rogers Clark, writing the Encyclopedia of Dogs, and a great deal more. So thank you so much for joining us again. As a writer, you said you were a newsletter editor when you were a very young man in the Boxer Club, but what really brought you to being what I consider, and I am a writer also, a very gifted, a very talented for making a point, someone who's really able to reach the nub of things? What got you started with that?
Basically, Laura, as a kid, when I was in school, I loved writing essays. English was always my favorite subject, and I found that it came easy to me. When I got into dogs, I occasionally sent small pieces into Dog World Weekly newspaper that got published. Then, for a few years, I undertook general coverage of many of our championship shows for Our Dogs, which was the other weekly paper, until the late Stafford Summerfield approached me to write a weekly column in Dog World, which I was really sort of overawed by such a request. Stafford was the editor of the News of the World, which is like a very famous Sunday newspaper, who was married to Ferelith Summerfield, who was the editor of Dog World for so many years. Anyhow, I agreed to do a weekly column, and I did that for more than 30 years and eventually became the paper's consultant editor. And then some years ago, Matt Stander and Gene Zafiris asked me to write a column in Dog News, and this gave me considerable exposure in the USA, for which I will always be grateful. And I'm sure that without Matt and Gene's opportunity, I would never have had the wonderful judging assignments I've had in the States. I also contribute regularly to an Australian monthly and more recently a Japanese magazine, where, of course, there are now so many clever breeders and exhibitors. I have written a few books, some on specific breeds and one on judging, and, of course, co-authored the International Encyclopedia with Mrs. Clark.
Mrs. Clark, of course, being one of my gods as a young girl growing up. I started this podcast too late to get to interview her, so now I'm going to have to live vicariously through you. I would love to hear about that.
When I first met Mrs. Clark at an American dog show, I was, of course, totally intimidated by this living legend. And I'm sure I wasn't the first to feel like that.
Nor the last.
Over time, we got to know each other better, and when she was invited to come to the UK to judge a special anniversary show for the Norfolk Terrier Club, I was asked to interview her in front of a packed audience. I took her down memory lane and got her entire life story, but very quickly saw a completely different side of her as she opened up and suddenly became this very self-conscious, gawky, six-foot teenager again. I guess it was almost like a kind of regression. She was extremely frank about all her doubts and fears and explained that it was actually her husband, Jim, who really created the image that everyone got to see. Jim built her up to be a much more self-confident woman who stood tall and proud, and eventually got to the stage where so many people just wanted to be in Annie's gang. Annie was, without doubt, the most complex person I've ever met. There was the public Annie and the private Annie, and I will never forget sitting at dinner after a Canadian dog show one year when Nigel reduced her to tears, so heated was the argument. It was actually Annie that helped me enormously in establishing a judging technique by explaining that in any class of dogs, she would first select on type and then sort out the selected dogs on movement and performance. It's so logical when you think about it, and it's judging so much easier. In the early 90s, Annie had been approached to write the International Encyclopedia, but needed a co-author, and obviously I was extremely honored when she asked me. It was certainly a labor of love. It took 2 years to put together. We enlisted expert help for some of the text. Renee Spore-Willis from Sweden was very helpful. in covering some of the lesser known FCI breeds, but we were solely responsible for all the photographs. And there were thousands, but thousands of pictures that were sent to and fro until we agreed on what was the best shot for each breed. And I very quickly learned that it was a complete waste of time to send Mrs. Clark anything that had its feet in grass. Couldn't see the feet. It was a definite no-no for Annie. At the end of the day, the book was a huge success, and it's been reprinted in several languages. The downside was that after one small token retainer, we never got paid a cent. So consider that our gift to the sport.
Oh my gosh, I have no idea.
A lot of people had no idea. They thought we'd made a fortune.
Wow, that is an amazing story.
But it was fun to do, and it helped me get to know Annie a lot better. And when I did come across and we were on the same panel, it was always great to catch up. She was a one-off, total one-off.
Absolutely. And what a gift in your life.
I was so privileged, for want of a better expression, get inside her.
No, that's beautiful. And you've done a lot of work in the UK, mostly, right? On television, seminars, all that sort of thing. So this podcast for you seems sort of familiar.
When Dog World was prospering, we began Dog World TV, which produced a monthly hour-long program that was networked, in which we covered a major championship show, interviewing winners and breeders, and that proved really popular. We also organized a series of audiences with, where we would invite a celebrity of the sport, and I would interview them on a one-to-one basis, but in front of a paying audience. And actually, the first one we did was with Pat Craig Trotter. I mean, what a great one to start with.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Pat is such a charismatic lady with infinite knowledge, and one of those people who can just articulate her thoughts so perfectly, and pearls of wisdom just drop from her lips one after the other.
The thing that I admire most about Pat Trotter is that she is a regular person. And I see her quite often, of course, because I live here on the West Coast and I live just a few hours north of her, so I see her at regular dog shows. And if she's not judging, if she's just showing dogs, she has the time and willingness to sit and talk for an extended period, just watching dogs.
She is somebody, in quotes, and yet she's so totally grounded.
Yes.
Again, she's one of my favorites. As I said, we were doing these audiences. We then arranged to have a handling masterclass, which we filmed, with Frank Sabella and Jason Lynn. Now, if you don't know Jason, he is an American who apprenticed for many years with Mike and Linda Pitts. He then came to the UK, where he became a partner in the famous Afterglow Kennel, specializing in what you would call cockers, what we call American cockers, and also poodles. He's been hugely successful, winning Dog of the Year All Breeds, Best in Show at Crufts twice, the Yukonuba World Challenge in Orlando, and finishing countless champions. And I mean, Jason is absolutely, in my opinion, one of the greatest handlers in the world.
He was fabulous. He was on the show. We did a podcast interview, and I enjoyed talking with him so much, and he shared so much great knowledge about how to work with these incredibly coated breeds that here in the United States, you spend hours brushing and drying and putting up and doing all of the things. And he talked to us about doing that without power. My eyes, my brain sort of spun.
The thing that astounded me when we did that, you know, I got to know Jason fairly well since he came over. And obviously, I've known a lot longer his partner, Mike Gadsby. And of course, Mike was always the front man. Mike was the extrovert. Mike was the one that you always heard. And Jason was always kind of, you know, the quiet guy in the background. And when I talked to him about doing this with Frank, I had slight reservations that he was going to be sort of forceful enough. Mike was actually away judging that weekend. So Jason came on his own with a couple of dogs because we were going to use dogs, obviously, for the practical side of it. And I was totally amazed. Jason just blossomed and articulated like he'd been doing this for 100 years. And everybody there was just completely spellbound. And, of course, to do it with Frank was just perfect. Now, I'd previously hosted an audience with Frank, who was always been one of my idols, which was just magical, not to mention a little outrageous in parts. I have to tell you, when I was a teenager and my friends had posters of pop stars or footballers on their bedroom walls, I, of course, had the famous photo of Frank in a tight white vest on Malibu Beach with Command Performance, the white standard poodle in midair.
That is an iconic photo.
I mean, at that time, little did I think that I would ever meet this legend, much less become one of his closest friends.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Okay, crew. I hear it pretty much every day now. I love pure dog talk. And that makes my heart happy, because I love doing it. I started hosting Pure Dog Talk as a way to reach out to members of our community with education and resources to enable you to succeed and move forward in your goals and ambitions. And your response has been literally overwhelming. The podcast has been downloaded well over 250,000 times to date. That's incredible. All of this information is free to exhibitors around the world at the touch of a button. But here's the reality check. Money really does make the world go round, guys. So I created a special patrons group. This funding source helps cover the expenses of audio editing and website hosting and technology and like that. Patrons keep Pure Dog Talk's fountain of knowledge flowing freely. And like the NPR of dogdom, our patrons support Pure Dog Talk with monthly gifts. We even offer advertising and sponsorship opportunities that you guys may not have known about. So drop me a note, laura@puredogtalk.com, and I'll let you know how you can help share the love.
But when I heard that Frank was judging with me in Portugal, I suggested that we diverted him via the UK and arranged to get him as the old pro and Jason Lynn as the young pretender to put on this masterclass. Actually, a complete sellout within days of advertising tickets, and the whole day was mind-blowing. They worked so perfectly together, constantly bouncing off each other, and everyone present learned so much from both of them as they watched them create magic with various dogs.
I'm envious of that. Didn't you tell me there's a YouTube video of that that we could find and maybe post some of it?
There was certainly a DVD produced of it. You know, when you go to something, and even though I was doing the kind of MC thing, I was losing my voice. It was one of those things that you were inwardly thinking, I really don't want this to stop. You know what I mean?
I do indeed.
It was just wonderful. And then, of course, at several of our major championship shows, I've taken on the commentary for the group judging in the big ring. And for some years, I worked with Hugh Canuba on a series of masterclasses dealing with various aspects of the sport. And I think you can still find these on YouTube or via the Yukonuba website. And the one we did in Long Beach, which was entitled What Makes a Great Handler, really thrilled me because I'd managed to get my good friend and, again, genius handler, Michael Canaliso, Peter Green, my fellow Welshman, the lovely Mary Dukes, who just blew me away with her utter professionalism, and a young lady from Germany called Katja Rauhut, who had been a very successful junior handler, to make up a panel that really worked well. And again, we did that with a relatively small audience, but it was such an education. I mean, the little things that Michael gave away and Mary gave away were just little pearls that you never, ever forgot. When we were doing this handling masterclass, apropos of, we were talking about little sort of tricks, Mary turns to Michael and says, Michael, you know, I could never understand why, when the judges were putting hands on your Afghan, that you very discreetly used to lift up a front paw. He said, but Mary, it's so easy. When you lift the front paw, the muscles really tense up behind, and that judge thinks this dog is so goddamned hard, it's not true.
That is awesome.
I just sat there with my mouth open. Just wonderful. It's funny how these little things stick in your mind.
Well, absolutely.
I was also extremely excited when they asked me to sit alongside the delightful Gina DiNardo to assist with some of the group commentary in Orlando. I did that a few times, and I think it worked well as Gina and I kind of built up around the American and the British perspectives.
Absolutely. Well, and now my understanding is that you are now sort of on a hiatus on your judging. You're taking care of your mom right now?
Yes. Mom has macular degeneration, so her sight is extremely limited. And she's just celebrated her 91st birthday. As I said, the sight is very, very poor. Mentally, she's as sharp as a tack. Listen, she has a better memory than I do, let me tell you. She can run rings around me, believe it or not. But in practical terms, it's not possible to leave her for very long. So 2 years ago, she moved in with me. We bought a new place up here in Cheshire. We love the place. It's a perfect layout for us. I mean, we just couldn't have had a more suitable property, which is all on one level. And it has a beautiful but very manageable garden, which Mum really enjoys. And I decided that it wouldn't be fair to just cherry pick and take some assignments but not others. So the best thing was to put all the judging on hold for as long as Mum is with us, which I hope will be many years to come. Running the home is really a full-time job, but I still have to contribute to the various publications I'm involved with. Of course, I miss getting to meet outstanding dogs in the ring, because the thrill of judging for me was always seeing something for the very first time, maybe a puppy, maybe something with a complete novice owner, that made the hairs on my back stand up. That, to me, was always the real joy of judging. And I have to admit, I mean, I do have something of a reputation for sticking my neck out with exceptional youngsters or puppies. And here, I can really identify with Mrs. Clark, who once said to me, "I often discover the great ones before they're ready to be discovered."
Right.
And of course she did. What I don't miss is the ever-increasing politics I see internationally, which is something that is hugely detrimental to the sport, and that I am happy to be away from.
Well, you hope to judge again in your time, yes?
Yes, absolutely. As I said, mother is the priority, and then let's just see what happens then. But, I mean, thankfully, you know, we get a regular stream of visitors from the dog world with whom I can rabbit on endlessly about the good old days. And, of course, with Facebook, you still feel that you're actually in the thick of things.
Yes. Social media has its place, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, you know, like everything, when it's properly used, it's wonderful. When it's abused, it's absolutely lethal. And then, of course, sometimes I get asked to go visit a litter of puppies and pass an opinion on what should be the keeper. And that always gives me a real buzz, regardless of the breed. I just adore looking at puppies. And it's always interesting to compare my choice with that of the breeder. And I still get amused when breeders ask me to look at a litter and then immediately start stacking things on the table. I always tell them to just let the puppies stroll around the yard and we'll worry about the table later. Because in this way, you can see, even at 8 weeks, which is the age I like to look at puppies of any breed, as they tend to be in proportion, the overall shape, how the puppy carries itself, and where it puts its feet down. You'll also see how it interacts with its litter mates. So really, those qualities that we look for in a show dog are there from the start. And every now and again, I'll see something strutting around the yard at 8 weeks that just has that extra something. And you feel, yeah, this is a great. And then you watch it blossom. And that really is the future.
It is indeed. And being able to bring this knowledge and this history and this insight to people who would never have the opportunity to do this otherwise is so important. And I thank you. I bow. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Andrew. You have a lovely evening. All right, crew, we are back with Allison Foley and her tip of the week from the Leading Edge Dog Show Academy. Allison, welcome. How are you today?
I'm excellent today, Laura. How are you?
I am spectacular. It's a beautiful sunshiny day here in Oregon. And you have some truly exciting things to talk about this month. So we're starting with making your brand, yes, with your trimming?
Yes, we are.
Excellent.
Exactly.
So excited. So talk to me about that.
So one of the things that I've noticed in my years with dogs is showing poodles. People have told me time and time again how they can look at a picture and not even see me in it and understand that I trim that dog, right? That my dogs look the same and that that becomes, to me, their brand, right? I have a friend who's a golden retriever breeder, and I'm not a golden retriever expert, but I can look at pictures of her dogs without her in the picture and know that that's either her dog or she trimmed it. So one of the things I wanted to talk about was that's something that I want people to work on. I want them to think about how they trim their dogs and that becomes their brand, right? You look at a Kerry Blue picture without Bill McFadden in it, and you can tell that he trimmed it or influenced the person that trimmed it just simply by how stylistic it is.
Right. Interiors is what I think of that. Absolutely.
Right. But I think that as a breeder, owner, handler, or an exhibitor, an owner exhibitor, I think that that is still a really important concept that you want to recreate your brand time and time again. But I think it's important to understand, although you want all your dogs to look the same, have the same look, that same brand, that doesn't necessarily mean that they all have the same haircut, because you can't put the same trim on each and every dog. You put a different trim to get the same result. So one of the things I thought about is, you know, when you're trimming feet, either on a poodle or on a golden retriever or something like that, you know, in order to make the foot look better, look seriously at the foot. How much hair do you need to leave on the top of the foot? How much hair do you need to take off the sides of the foot in order for you to get that ideal foot look, the look that you want when you're creating your trim, right? And we know that it's different. You know that you can look at feet on a sporting dog, and some people like to expose the toenail. Some people like the toenail not to be exposed. Whatever your look is, just remember how to recreate that look. Because your goal is, in the end, to have your dogs instantly recognizable, even without you in the photo.
I think that is amazing. And I would like to have you do just a little bit more as an example for why you can't put the same exact trim on each dog. And so you have, we'll use your feet thing, right? So good feet, bad feet, not the same trim to get the same result.
Exactly. Like, you do want the foot to look the same. If you're trimming a breed that is supposed to have like a little cat foot on a dog that does have a perfect cat foot, you are going to take off quite a bit of hair, and to show off those nice arched toes, really trim around the outline of the foot to give that really nice tight look. Now you have a dog that is growing up before it's teething, its foot is a little bit flatter, not the ideal cat foot shape. It is your job to really look at that foot and decide, where do I need to leave hair on that foot, i.e. on the top of the foot, trim it maybe even a bit tighter all the way around to make that cat foot appearance. Now, we're not talking about being grotesque with it and just like having big, all the hair left on the top of the foot so that you're just basically pointing out to the judge that your dog has poor feet, right? It is a delicate balance to do it. So my point is, you really have to look and be very critical of your own dog. You don't have to tell anybody else what you think, but you have to be critical of your own dog, know where the faults are, and know where you have to leave a little bit extra hair or take off a little bit of extra hair to really create that brand over and over again. Your look, your brand, your style, whatever you want to call it, so that it becomes recognizable. So be very objective. And just understand where the trim needs to be tweaked in order for your brand to look the same.
Love that. Excellent. Thank you, Allison. And as always, listeners, remember Pure Dog Talk 25 when you check out for a Leading Edge Dog Show Academy course gives you a 25% discount on your fabulous opportunity for education from Ms. Allison. Thanks, Allison.
Thanks for having me, Laura.
The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.